Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Jason Kelce presser today, 1 o'clock Eastern time. That'll certainly be interesting. Even if he just retires, whatever he says in it is going to be entertaining in itself.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's going to be a show, 1 o'clock Eastern time. Travis shows up, we think?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, bro's got to be there.
The sister-in-law?
She's on tour.
Okay. I didn't say it was definitely her. I'm just saying in general, so yeah. But Taylor, no go. No go for Taylor on that one. All right.
No, but I expect Travis to be there to support his brother. Yeah.
All right, so we expect the retirement today, 1 p.m. Eastern time. We also expect this week at some point to have some more news about the quarterback position in and around the NFL, Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins rumors, draft rumors, etc. And, of course, all of that navigates its way back to the Dallas Cowboys, who have a quarterback under contract for 1 year. What happens after this year? Jerry Jones, the owner and general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, while at the Combine, I think, per Nuno, fielding questions in his bus this weekend. That's what he does.
A lot happens on that bus.
Maybe I'll play the sound now. From Jerry about the extension with Dak Prescott.
If everybody wants to solve it, you can. And so the how is you get in and get on the same page and see if you can come to an agreement. If you can't, what we have in place works. And so, obviously, if you do it one way, then that gives you, you'll be working through some of the other areas on the team in a different way. But you can't really plan on that until you see where you are there. That's what we're doing.
Is there fear that this could be his last year? Do you have that fear at all?
I don't fear that.
Biggest takeaway from that first piece of audio there from Jerry?
Well, he's got a plan in case things go left when it comes to the negotiations with Dak, right? Mm-hmm. I think that is Jerry outlining that the Cowboys have clear boundaries in terms of where they are willing to and unwilling to go when it comes to the negotiations. And to me, I don't think Jerry wants to pay Dak $60 million a year. And that's probably going to be the asking price for Dak, given where the salary cap is now. The salary cap went up $31 million this offseason from where it was a year ago. So Dak Prescott, seeing some of the contracts that have checked in, Joe Burrow getting, what, $55 million a year, Patrick Mahomes reworking his contract to presumably get more than that. I don't know that Jerry Jones wants to pay Dak that kind of money. I don't blame him because it's going to be really hard to get the return on investment if you do. Yeah. Is Dak a $60 million a year quarterback? Right now, to me, the answer to that question is no. Now, I want every player to get their money, and I'm hoping that Dak gets it from Jerry because Lord knows Jerry got enough of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that that puts Jerry Jones closer to winning a championship if you're paying Dak Prescott that kind of money over the next several seasons.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a question of if they think Dak's the guy because he says what we have in place works, but is it going to work at that price point? And that's my big takeaway from that, is that he did acknowledge what we have in place works. And I think he's looking at Dak as a very good quarterback and Mike McCarthy as a Super Bowl winning head coach. And he still believes that maybe they could get them to where they want to go, but not at that price point. But if I'm Dak, I've already bet on myself in the past. Why would I take one penny less?
You wouldn't.
I'm not going to.
You wouldn't. I mean, I guess the only argument against it is because you put together your best season as a pro this past year, why should you have to incur more risk of injury without having the long-term financial guarantees, right? Nothing better than cash than fresh cash. And if you're Dak Prescott, you've positioned yourself to get fresh cash this offseason, not to mention the leverage you have in your deal because you got a no-tag clause or no-trade clause. So if you're Dak, why would you risk injury when you know that there are other teams in the NFL that'd be willing to pay you on a long-term contract? I mean, given what we've heard about – you know, Kirk Cousins being the linchpin for the quarterback carousel and how everybody's going to be angling to try to get him. If those same teams are looking for a quarterback in the veteran marketplace, they would probably rather have Dak Prescott than Kirk Cousins.
Guesstimation right now, this could change 2 minutes from now, but give me a guesstimation, CC, on the Cousins contract, not the who, but the actual numbers, and give me a guesstimation on the Dak contracts.
I would say the Cousins contract is probably 3 years, $150 million.
All guaranteed?
No, I'd probably say $100 million guaranteed or thereabouts.
Okay.
The Dak contract is going to be significantly more, but you factor in age too, mm-hmm. You know, where Dak is in his career relative to Cousins, Dak's health. Dak's leadership qualities. I just think the overall branding around Dak. Dak is, if I'm a team that feels like we need to make a significant swing at the quarterback spot, and I'm ready to win in terms of where my roster is right now, there is no better option that would seemingly be available than Dak Prescott.
5 for $300 million?
Yeah, that's about right.
How much guaranteed? 200 at least?
I mean, yeah, 70% of that, whatever that number is. So, yeah, over 200 probably, yeah.
So, if you're Atlanta, you'd rather have Dak or Cousins?
Dak.
Okay, so now mm-hmm. How does it work relative to getting that information to Dak? Because you can't have him next year, right?
It's called an agent.
Right. So basically.
Pretty simple, Jer.
So basically you're saying to Dak's agent, hey, if he gets to us, we will give him the 5-300.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. I mean, you don't want to deal with the risk of injury looming over your impending free agency. But Dak Prescott has already lived that nightmare,
yes,
right? Like, I mean, he had the broken ankle. His foot and his kneecap were facing opposite directions. Like, he lived that nightmare, and he still ended up getting his money that following offseason. So I don't know if that's something that's going to deter him, but all I think about is what Tad Prescott put out there in the ether earlier this offseason when he was telling Cowboys fans to stop DMing him, stop tweeting at him, because if he could get his brother Dak to leave Dallas, he would. Because of how unfair the scrutiny and the criticism has been, but Dak loves Dallas and he wants to win a championship for the Cowboys. So if Dak really wanted out, he has all of the leverage that he would need in order to force his way out. But I don't necessarily see him doing that because I do think there is a part of him that wants to win a championship in Dallas.
I mean, he's put a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and equity into that place. And winning there would seemingly be bigger than winning anywhere else.
No doubt.
So I can understand why it would be hard for him to leave that scenario, especially if you look at the talent around you. You have that relationship with your coach who's won a Super Bowl. It would be a hard situation to walk away from. But I keep returning to this place where even though both of them are in a good place with one another, would they be better off without each other? The Cowboys, while they think Dak is great, aren't overly eager to commit to him at
the level that
they need to.
They're not.
While Dak has had success in Dallas, I can't help but wonder if he got out of that circus and got somewhere else, if he would have a better environment around him to succeed. The Dallas Cowboys are better with Dak Prescott, but I just don't know if that's the right marriage for either one of them.
I can't sit here today and not think that Dak Prescott's life and career would be better if he was the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. Everything about his life and career, I think, would be better. I really do believe that. He's going to get paid more. He has as good-ish weapons on offense. I mean, he has some really good weapons there on offense.
Yeah, he got arguably the best wide receiver in the league is CeeDee Lamb, though.
Who may not be there long-term, though, if they don't work that out, right? May not. And I think CeeDee Lamb is awesome. I totally agree with you on that. The scrutiny is a lot. And I assume he's probably sick of the scrutiny, because if the scrutiny doesn't lead to one of two things, winning or long-term financial stability, which right now it has not led to enough of either, why not go, if that hypothetical, the 5 for $300 million, is on the table for Atlanta and you're playing with Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson and Raheem Morris.
And a top 10 defense.
And a top 10 defense in a much easier division. How could that not be more attractive to you? Go ahead, Smalls.
I was just saying, and it's a place that wants you.
Yeah. And by the way, are we sure the Cowboys wouldn't rather Kirk Cousins on a 3 for $150 million than they would Dak 5 for $300 million?
No, see, that's the thing.
When
we have this conversation and you ask, well, what was life without the other one look like? I think life for Dak would be far better than life for the Dallas Cowboys.
Agreed, big time.
You know what I mean? What's your alternative if you're Jerry Jones, if it ain't Dak? Trey Lance? Cooper Rush? Like, that's what we're doing? No, that's not going to get you closer to winning a championship. But you have to ask yourself, like, does paying Dak Prescott $60 million a year move us closer, any closer than we are right now, to a championship? I don't know the answer to that, especially given the contracts that you're going to have to dole out. We brought up CeeDee Lamb. Michael Parsons is also going to want his money. You don't want to make him wait because it's only going to get more expensive.
Correct.
So, I mean, this is a very tricky spot if you're Jerry, but in order to apply or assert maximum pressure and create urgency in order to get what you want, which is a title, I could see a world where he decides to not only go into 2024 with a lame duck coach, but have a lame duck quarterback too.
Well, he talks about going all in, right? That's what he's been saying. And here is Jerry Jones from over the weekend about going all in next season.
Yes, I do. And because what is the all in approach? The all in, I'm not going to go all in if I don't get an extension. You don't have a situation like that. You just have to adjust where you're going. How you going all in?
There was Pat Costello's dreams.
Hold on, I missed a part of it. He said he can't go all in unless he has an extension.
I think that's what he said. Sounds like Pat's nightmares.
Can we play that again? Because I need to hear that again.
Yeah, it was hard to hear.
Yes, I do. And because what is the all in approach? The all in, I'm not going to go all in if I don't get an extension. You don't have a situation like that. You just have to adjust where you're going, how you're going all in.
He's saying you have to adjust how you're going all in. I mean, basically what he's saying is I'm not thinking about next year. I'm thinking about this year, and that means I don't have to worry about an extension beyond this year for Dak Prescott, if that's where the negotiations land.
I have some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Smalls, your dream will not come true.
Which one?
Adam Schefter has just reported, before free agency begins next week, the Buccaneers and five-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Mike Evans reached an agreement on a two-year, $52 million contract that includes $35 million guaranteed per his agent Derek Gilmore. Evans now has a real chance to start and finish his career in Tampa as a Buck. You have been dreaming about the idea of Mike Evans to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
Officially not happening.
But good for him for getting the deal done. And I think I love when people have their entirety of their careers in one place. But yeah, I was really dreaming of Mike Evans and Patrick Mahomes teaming up to be a great duo.
A little light for Mike Evans, isn't it? A little light. I mean, $26 million a year.
35 guaranteed.
$26 million a year. I don't know. A little light. No, I'm serious. I thought it would be more than that. I thought it would be
elsewhere.
I thought it would be closer to 30. I guess the fact is he probably wanted to stay in Tampa.
Yeah.
Because thinking about this, committing at this point, and you don't necessarily know what your quarterback situation is going to be. Maybe this is why he's doing this, so he could, you know, they can get closer to getting a Baker Mayfield deal done.
Glad you said that. Adam Schefter has now since followed up. Bringing back Mike Evans not only will help the Buccaneers offense, but it would also serve as another recruiting pitch for free agent QB Baker Mayfield, who hoped to continue playing with the standout wideout.
There you go.
So there you go.
There's that. That's that part of it. Now, the franchise tag is probably going to go to Antoine Winfield Jr. down there, because a lot of people think he'd reset the safety market if he gets to free agency. I don't know that the Bucs want to dole that out right now. So, yeah, they've got to find a way to sell Baker Mayfield on why staying in Tampa is the best fit for him long term. I don't think you need much of a sales pitch, because he's seen what the LA Rams were. He saw what the Carolina Panthers were. Dude, it fits. It works.
Yeah.
You're comfortable with the coaching staff, the pieces around you. Best served staying in Tampa. Tampa's got to pay him, but best served staying in Tampa.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation, because this obviously influences the QB carousel, because Baker Mayfield Patriots rumors were out there this weekend. This move with Mike Evans could potentially squash that. We'll get to that coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Mike Evans and the Bucks, per Adam Schefter. 2-year, $52 million deal. $35 million guaranteed. Tampa, a hot ticket now, again, this year. Hot ticket brought to you by Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Get great deals on the hottest tickets. Experience it live. Seems like Tampa is getting their team back together here. Antoine Winfield, CC saying maybe he gets the franchise tag, and this certainly would lead us to believe that maybe Baker Mayfield comes back there. It's remarkable. Kudos to Baker Mayfield that he's in demand right now.
Yeah.
Right? You had all the reports over the weekend at the Combine that New England was very interested, which you could tie back maybe to Elliott Wolf, who was with Cleveland back in the day when Baker was there, and there's maybe a tie there. But that's remarkable that he has created this kind of market. Now, if we look at this and we assume Baker back with Tampa, that takes one quarterback off of the board here, right? That takes a quarterback off the board. It doesn't guarantee that he's back with Tampa, but we would think that the Mike Evans to the Bucs potentially puts Baker back with Tampa. And we've even talked, Smalls, about the idea of Tampa being a destination if Baker were to go somewhere else for a Justin Fields or someone else. And now that obviously likely is not the case.
Yeah, it feels like things are trending in that direction. But this is just another reason why if I'm the Chicago Bears, I am working the phones like you can't believe, and that I want to get this deal done as soon as possible, because we know Kirk Cousins is still looming out there. If Baker does indeed stay with the Bucks, those are destinations and pieces that are being taken off the board if I'm Chicago. So I am trying to make the calls to teams that are in need of a quarterback that might be interested in Justin Fields, and I'm trying to get a deal done as soon as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to try to get something done immediately, especially if you're the Chicago Bears, Ryan Poles. You can't let this thing languish, because we're starting to see some moving parts now, and we know that the Mike Evans deal was done in part to try to sell Baker Mayfield on why staying in Tampa is the best thing for him. So, again, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in addition to the Atlanta Falcons pursuing Kirk over Justin Fields right now, those are two spots in the NFC South that we thought could be in the veteran quarterback market seemingly going away. So if you're Ryan Poles, you got to get this thing done sooner rather than later.
Can we do a little QB carousel right now?
Let's do
and
it.
Kind of, we're penciling it in. With the notion here, this could change 10 minutes from now if we get other information. So let's Chicago, Caleb,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Washington, where do we want to go?
Drake May.
Okay, so we'll go Drake May. New England?
Jaden Daniels.
Okay. So now, Atlanta, we're going to go Cousins.
I don't know.
Everyone is pointing us in that direction. Adam Schefter tipped us off 1 week ago. The idea of why is he putting out these videos if they're so close to things happening. Mike Tannenbaum sat here today with us on Unsportsmanlike and said Atlanta is where he thinks he's going to go. Kirk Cousins?
Even though I think it would behoove the Minnesota Vikings to retain him, it does feel like there is more momentum than ever pairing Kirk Cousins with the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm okay if you want to write that down.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go Atlanta.
CC, you good with that?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Denver.
I still love J.J. McCarthy to Denver. If this is a dream scenario where I'm pairing quarterbacks with franchises and or head coaches, I would love to see him there.
I know. I kind of see a J.J. McCarthy situation there, too.
Can't
but
you
here's
see
the
that?
Only problem with it. In Sean Payton's system, you have to have an accurate quarterback. It has to be an accuracy thing. And I don't know whether or not Sean feels like he can fix the accuracy issues, if it's something mechanical or if it's just an attribute. That's one of those things that they have to work out in the pre-draft process. But it feels like it lines up in terms of what you might be looking for. Another person to watch with the Denver Broncos is Bo Nix. Mm. You know, Bo Nix is accurate, might not have the best arm talent out there, but accurate and played a lot of football games. I could see Sean Payton selling himself on Bo Nix being the guy, even though I don't think it'll be at 12.
So we think it's going to be one of those quarterbacks, 3-6.
Yeah.
Like the Bo Nix, the Michael Penix Jr. or J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I just don't think that the Denver Broncos are in the veteran quarterback market just because they don't have the money. They're still dealing with the Russell Wilson contract.
Right.
So, I mean, I just think with the team up against it, they're going to have a cheap option, and the cheapest option at quarterback would be through the draft.
By the way, there continues to be an argument in my mind of just keeping Russell Wilson. You're going to pay the cap hit anyway. It doesn't prevent you from drafting a guy at the quarterback position. There's no, I mean, like, I'm just throwing that out there. So let's.
It just feels like both sides are done with one
that
another.
That I agree with. That I agree with. I'm just talking about from a football perspective. There's an argument. So do you want to put Bo Nix? You want? What if we do this? What if we lean into what's been thrown out there? So in other words, Denver, we put Bo Nix, Orlovsky's throwing that out there, right? And then let's say with Minnesota,
we'll go JJ.
We'll go JJ because in your scenario where you see Smalls, Denver, and JJ, Minnesota trading up, as Mike Tannenbaum has told us, would prevent Denver from even having a chance of getting him, right?
Yeah, good point. Okay.
So let's do Minnesota, JJ McCarthy, okay? So now we have your former teammate, Antonio Pierce, and the Raiders. Justin Fields is available in this scenario. Russell Wilson's available in this scenario. Gardner Minshew's available in this scenario.
It won't be him.
Michael Penix Jr. is available in this scenario.
Could be him.
That feels like the one.
Could be him. Yeah, Michael Penix Jr.
So that means Penix would go 12 in the draft? 13, excuse me. 13 in the draft.
Well, Mike Tannenbaum said he thinks six quarterbacks in the top 16.
Okay. So now we have Justin Fields and we have Russell Wilson left. Justin Fields is 2 for 28 all in over the next 2 years. Russell Wilson is basically $10 an hour. Pittsburgh Steelers seem like a team that is out there for a quarterback that could potentially compete to start. We know that. Maybe Tennessee just runs it back with the same two guys who were there last year, but in a different order.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Levis 1, Tannehill 2.
No, I think Tannehill's out of here.
Okay, so but Levis gone. Still won, we assume.
Yeah, Levis will be the quarterback. Mm-hmm.
So where do you want to put Fields? Pittsburgh? Or do you want to put Russ in Pittsburgh?
I don't know. Russ seems like, with Pittsburgh, seems like that would... I could see a world where both of them fit. Personality-wise, I think Justin Fields would be better for where the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room seems to be. They already got enough leadership on the defensive side of the ball. They just need somebody to come in and give them something at the quarterback spot. Now, what Justin Fields brings to the table is the overall athleticism and to be a threat in the run game, as well as being able to stretch the field. They got guys that can catch 50-50 balls downfield, and we know Justin Fields has the arm talent to get it down there. So I think in terms of how Pittsburgh would want to play, especially with their new offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, I think Justin Fields will fit what they want to do. But I also think the Pittsburgh Steelers, with a competent quarterback, could be a team that goes on a deep playoff run. And I'm not ready to assign that label to Justin Fields, but I know Russell Wilson can give you that.
And a cheaper option, too.
Yeah.
So what do we want to do?
I still would like, I would prefer Fields there, but I could see the argument for Russ.
Let's go ahead for the argument say that Russ goes to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Where do we see Justin Fields?
So
where's he at?
Let me ask a question on this. Let's tie everything back together here. Does Dallas get involved in the leftover game? Does Dallas
hedge? They already have. They traded for Trey Lance. I know. They already have.
But if Russ is available for like $1 million or $2 million, do you consider it if you're Dallas? He's not going to necessarily want to be a backup, obviously, but then all of a sudden the leverage.
So we're saying Pittsburgh has Justin Fields now.
Yeah. No. We're saying Pittsburgh has Russ. I'm just saying in a hype. So
where does Justin Fields go?
Yeah, that's my question.
That's the question. Like, if Pittsburgh has Russ, then where does Justin Fields go?
Yeah, that's the question.
Where does he go?
Does Minnesota have to start McCarthy right off the bat?
But can you see the Bears and the Vikings, like that transaction happening?
How about Seattle? Let him compete with Geno, who's on a one-year deal.
That's a good option.
I can see that as like somebody, you know, trade and stash Justin Fields. I can see a world, especially with the fifth-year option, I could see a world where you're doing that because, you know, I mean, you have 2 years, $28 million. That's $14 million a year for a backup quarterback. It's a little rich, but it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that would create an untenable situation in terms of roster construction. So, yeah, I could see somebody deciding that they're doing that. Justin Fields with the New York Jets. What are the Jets doing at quarterback after Aaron Rodgers?
I keep thinking that.
What about the Giants?
What are the Giants doing? Like, I mean, again... These teams that have quarterbacks that aren't going to be there long, maybe a good time, not a long time, could Justin Fields be the succession plan after whatever they have right now in place as QB1?
Yeah.
What we just realized is based on this logic with the 6 first-rounders and Cousins changing teams potentially, somebody is going to be left without a seat, either Fields or Wilson.
And it's usually the other way around. It's usually the teams that are left without a seat.
Yep.
Now we're talking about a quarterback that has the potential to be a good player at the position, not having an opportunity to be a starter.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We're already starting to get some breaking news around the NFL. Jason Kelce to have a presser today, 1 p.m. Eastern. We assume retirement, not sure. Mike Evans extends with the Tampa Bay Bucks for another 2 years, all per Adam Schefter, of course, our NFL insider. Mike Evans went to Texas A&M, played with Johnny Football there, and joining us now, he is the former head coach at Texas A&M and FSU, where he won a title. It is Jimbo Fisher joining us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Coach, any part of you happy to not be involved with college football right now?
I tell you, during recruiting season it was, during the signing day. The hectic days, the long days, and then what all is coming on, and the craziness of the world today, and where we're at. But at the end, you still miss it because you miss the kids. And then I tell you this all the time. Coaches, we love it all, but we still miss – I do. I miss the kids. Of all the things you miss, I miss the relationships with your coaches and the people in the building, but you miss the kids, and I like recruiting. I really did.
Well, Jimbo, from when you started until now, it's a completely different landscape in college football, and the job is completely different in so many ways. How much more difficult is it now to be a head coach in college football compared to when you started?
Well, I mean, the amount of time, you always want to spend time with your players, and that's the hard thing, because the head coach, you're strung in so many, and making sure you really have relate. Now it's even, I'm going to say, 10 times more important. I mean, because the kids can – I mean, you have to re-recruit your kids every year. They're part of coaching. I mean, you got to get the dynamic of your team, get the culture of your team, what you're trying to accomplish, offense, defense. And, you know, and as a head coach, whether you're calling plays or not calling plays, I think that, you know, you're still involved in what's going on in your football team. But right now, the actual coaching part as a head coach is extremely hard because of the way recruiting is today and the amount of bids. I tell everybody, besides the month of February and the month of July, which is a mandatory dead time because the NCAA says kids cannot be on campus during any time of those 2 months. Every other weekend of the year, you work 7 days a week. Oof. Because people are constantly visiting your campus, being on your campus, and then you still have to spend time with all your players that are on your team because basically they're open free agents every year. So that amount of time, it in the last 2 to 3 years, it's totally changed the responsibilities and landscape of the head coach.
Coach, the headlines around college football the last couple of weeks have been with college football playoff expansion, going from mm-hmm. 4 teams to 12 teams. There's been some talk about it potentially going to 14 teams. Just wanted to get your thoughts on college football playoff expansion and what that does for the state of college football overall.
Well, I think once we went to the playoff, I think we took away from the bowl games. And I'm a historian. I love the history. I mean, just because you didn't win the national championship and you won the Orange Bowl or the Sugar Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or the Peach Bowl, whatever bowl, it's still a great year. You were rewarded. Now people don't even care. So if you're going to go into the playoffs, I guess you better go full speed. But I do think that the best team should get in, and there shouldn't be guaranteed spots. Maybe a one conference champion. I know what they're fighting over now. I need 2 spots. I need 3. Well, how do you know who's going to have the best team? Mm. I mean, historically right now, the SEC and Big Ten have had the most draft picks, and it is they're all great conferences. But where is – I know in the NFL, don't they say in the AFC East, because Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, I mean, and Baltimore are all – then three of those four should have a playoff spot no matter what happens in a bad division. I know they do that in the NFL, right, Chris? No. So, I mean, how can you do that in college football?
Yeah.
Let's just find the best team. Whatever the pair, you got to find parity and fairness. And I think that's what we're trying to search for in college football. And we say there's no fairness. Well, there's never been parity or fairness. College football is one of the most different sports in the world. We don't have a commissioner. We have conference. Everybody's fighting for their own conference and what happens and how it goes and its opinion. We need to set some rules to make parity and give everybody a fair shot, in my opinion.
Well, Coach, with all that being said, if you could change one thing or enact one rule in college football, what would it be?
There's no way for me to answer that. There's a lot of rules. I mean, I don't know what rule you change, but we have to come to some common ground, because there's no tell me the unifying factor in college football. Everything is based off your conference. Mm-hmm. So everybody's going to have their own agendas and pulling to where you go. And I think the one thing I would do, I would find a commission. I would find one guy that oversees college football and have a parity of rules and a committee that investigates the illegal activities and the things that go on. So just like you do in the NFL. You have one commissioner, one thing, so everything is fair across the board, no matter what your conference is.
And who would that be?
Oh, now I don't know that. I mean, you'd have to go in a vote. I mean, you'd have to go. I mean, it's like you pick Roger Goodell. I mean, however you got to the process of picking that guy. I mean, somebody who has knowledge of both ends of it, from an inside, from a coaching standpoint, but also you got the business model, which is what the NFL is doing, making so much money in the TV. I mean, there's a part they say you want an old coach in there. I mean, everybody says Nick should be the guy. You know what I'm saying? He knows, but okay, what about the bit? We still, I'm not saying he doesn't, but somebody's got to have the business end of that, because TV and marketing right now and the amount of money for the players, the coaches, the schools and everything that goes on, you have to manage that too. And I think we're heading that way. I may be crazy, but I see it now with the major conferences all coming together, and there may be that break of the 50, 60, 70, however many schools get into that group of teams that separates themselves in Division I sports. And I'm not saying that's good, but I see it coming.
Well, Coach, we've seen coaches from the college ranks jump to the NFL, and a lot of the speculation has been around not wanting to necessarily deal with recruiting and how NIL has changed that landscape and made it a 7-day-a-week, 24/7 job. So I'm just curious, when you see what happens with Jeff Hafley from Boston College, when you see what happens with Chip Kelly from UCLA, when you see what happens with Jim Harbaugh leaving to go to the LA Chargers, I'm just curious, what is the state of college football in terms of making it sustainable for head coaches?
I think there's two things. Are you at a have or have not school? Because like I say, in the NFL, there's a salary cap. So the amount of money you can spend on your players is equal. In college football, that's not true.
Mm.
And the other thing is the amount of family time. You remember in the NFL, because of the new rules for the players, remember, Chris, they used to have you there a month after the season, and you worked out just like you were in college, right?
Yep,
NFL,
yep, yeah,
meetings
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't do that now for what, 6 months or 4 months or 5 months?
Exactly.
So coaches now, instead of spending all those weekends and all those things in camps and mini camps, they're spending time with their family. The amount of time you're taking, what people don't see is the amount of time that our college football has taken our coaches away from their own families, not their players. I'm talking about their wife and kids at home. I mean, all those time, those 4 or 5 months, basically you're going to combine, you're working in the NFL, but you get long weekends, you get time with your family. And in college football, you get none of that. I mean, none of that right now. That does not happen in our game because of the amount of time you have to spend every weekend, and 3 or 4 days a week you have kids visiting and recruiting. And it's not just the seniors. You got a freshman, you got sophomores, you recruit now four classes at a time, and everybody's griping. I saw an article the other day, I can't remember what coach was saying, and why do you have to hire so many people? This is not the same game it was 10, 15 years ago. You're recruiting four classes at once.
Wow.
And you have to have the personnel department, just like you do in the NFL, organize who am I recruiting, my freshmen, my sophomores, my juniors, my seniors, and who's evaluating transfer portal guys. The amount of people it takes to run a college program now is almost doubled or tripled than it ever was. And the amount of time you're away from your family, because you have constantly, it's just an open door of coming through, and you got you. And if you're not willing to do that, then that kid's away. They don't want me. They move on. If you're not offering kids when they're sophomores, they get mad at you when they're, even though they're not developed. You say, why are those kids getting offers? He's just a sophomore. Why recruit them? Well, because if you don't, when he's a junior and you knew he was going to be a great player and you wanted to wait to see that time, well, you didn't want me then, so you don't want me now. I mean, the whole game in college football in that way has totally changed. And the ability for people to have time off and do things with their families, and it's also a regimented game. If you're not in a half school that has the money to NIL or do those things, you're at a huge disadvantage.
Sounds exhausting, Coach, when he outlined it like that.
It is. It really is. I mean, you just and that's only changed since in the last, I guess, recently. But that has totally changed the college game.
Well, it does sound exhausting, and I don't know how you coaches are able to endure that and avoid the burnout. But I wanted to ask you if you could give some people advice. So we saw two iconic coaches walk away from the game or not be in their same posts, and Bill Belichick with the Patriots and Nick Saban with Alabama. As someone who succeeded a legend in Bobby Bowden and was able to have success, what sort of advice would you give Kalen DeBoer at Alabama or Gerard Mayo with the Patriots on how to step into that role after following a coach of that ilk?
I think, first of all, be your own self. You got to be. Listen, people don't follow people who imitate people. People follow genuine people. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Now, but also don't be afraid to use something if it's in your repertoire that they did, okay? But also don't duplicate. If you don't think it's right for you, don't do it. And it takes a lot of guts, a lot of confidence, and there's a lot of scary nights. I mean, I remember we were one of the first teams to lose the GPS machines and things at Florida State after Coach left. And I'm laying there as a head coach, and I'm judging a lot of practice time, guys' development, all those types of things off of it. And I'm laying there as a first-time head coach in bed at night thinking, am I being stupid? Am I doing, you know, things that you were doing on your own. You got to have, at the end of the day, when you step out, just like a player, they take the training wheels off, you got to go perform. You got to believe in what you know. Do what you do. Get it across to the players and make them understand. And be authentic. Don't try to be – Caleb doesn't need to be Nick Saban. I wasn't trying to be Bobby, but I learned that so much from him that I did use a lot of – I mean, a ton of things in my background. That was my foundation of what made me successful, but I had to put my own twist to it. And I think Caleb's got to do that. And I think the people at Alabama have to let him do that. And Jarrett's got to do that in New England. I mean, those are two – maybe the two best that ever did it in pro football and college football. But it takes a very special person to succeed them in the ability to let them trust themselves. They have to trust themselves. Mm-hmm. They have to trust themselves and know what they're ready for and what they believe in, and coach the living heck out of it and get the players to believe in it, and they can go do the same thing.
Coach, thanks so much for a few minutes. We appreciate it. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, there's Jimbo Fisher, former FSU and Texas A&M head coach, of course, won a championship at FSU. Coming up, Canty's best bet, plus unsportsmanlike moments of the day. Next, it's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, so we are on a little bit of a win streak here.
Are you?
Yeah, we're on a little bit of a win streak. We went 4-5 last week.
Let's go.
We were outstanding at the end of, I mean, last week we ended it off with the Cavs laying 5.5 on Friday night and then under 216.5 team total, and we checked both boxes with that one. So
okay,
we're keeping this thing pushing. We won the last four, and hopefully we're going to keep that momentum tonight while we're doing that hockey. We're going to do that hockey tonight. You down to do some hockey yet?
Oh, yeah, always.
You big hockey guy?
Always, yeah, I'm on top of it.
So we're gonna,
NHLPA 93, so great
we're gonna,
game.
So we're going to do that hockey tonight, and we're going to go with the home team in the New York City area. We're going to go with the Rangers after a tough loss on the road against the Leafs in a shootout. We're going to go with the Rangers at home tonight against the Florida Panthers. Now, these are two really, really good teams, and you know, we'll see what ends up happening, but I think the Rangers are going to pull it off. A tough loss against the Leafs. I think they find a way to bounce back. Little home cooking. Let's hope Rempe doesn't get in a fight, but we all inevitably know he will.
Definitely. That's a better bet.
Yeah, I like the Rangers, especially the way that they've been playing over the last month or so. I think this team takes care of business. They're not going to let it be two losses in a row. So we got the Rangers on the money line, and then we've got under 5.5 total goals scored. So the Rangers on the money line, under 5.5 total goals scored, pays out at plus 304.
Can I ask a quick question?
Go ahead.
One more best bet, which is not really a best bet, but I want on the record again. Jason Kelce today at 1 p.m. Eastern will?
Retire.
Retire.
I guess I go retire, but I don't know. Now I'm starting to have second and third thoughts on this.
Why?
I just feel like there's like, I don't know. Is he holding a presser to do this? Is he wouldn't do it on his own podcast and then have the press conference? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Would he hold a press conference to announce that he's staying in the NFL?
No, but would you hold a press conference to announce you're leaving?
Yeah.
Right. No, not retiring. Leaving.
Oh.
Going to another I don't know. Now I'm now my mind is racing. Never been this interested in a center's press conference. Offense, but here we go. 1 p.m. Eastern today. Jason Kelce will find out. Time for the unsportsmanlike moments of the day.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, so the unsportsmanlike moments is something different, something quirky. Not necessarily bad, just different, right? So the Dallas Mavericks hosted the Philadelphia 76ers yesterday in the NBA. Well, the Sixers had a shoot-around practice, walk-through, whatever you want to say, the day before. It was an earlier game, afternoon game, as seen on ABC and ESPN. And instead of getting the normal practice facility, the Philadelphia 76ers held their practice at Buddy Hield's house. He's on the Sixers. He lives in Dallas. He has an enormous home with a full-court indoor basketball and a pool. Kelly Oubre went swimming, hanging, I guess, with a young, I would assume that's Hield's daughter. I don't know. Maybe a family member, whatever. But they held practice in his home. Sometimes you like to be reminded, boy, these guys have earned a lot of money.
There's also a different cost of living when you live in Dallas as opposed to living in Philadelphia.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
I mean,
just saying.
People could see it on ESPNU. There's no way you would think that this is someone's home unless we told you that this was someone's home. I couldn't imagine a football team on the road practicing at someone's house.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys do. Dak Prescott has got a field behind his house.
For real?
Seriously.
Like a full-fledged football field?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
But again, we're talking about Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Different cost of living down there. Just a different cost of living.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So the next one. You know, the NFL scouting combine had so many different unique storylines. Xavier Worthy, the 4.21 40, right? On his second try, he got a 4.25. He's like, nah, that's not good enough. I want to do better and set an all-time record, right? We saw all these different things. We also saw Notre Dame quarterback Sam Hartman run. And we saw RG3 tweet something about him running the 40 that he thinks that he should be in John Wick with Keanu Reeves, John Wick 5 with Sam Hartman. Because the flowing hair.
Beautiful head of hair.
He is going to be the spokesperson for a shampoo, no doubt, right? Or some hair care line.
Well, he's not going to get head and shoulders. That's Patrick Mahomes.
That's right.
But Sam Hartman should be in line for something.
Something.
Yeah.
With
beautiful head of hair.
With a flow like that, come on. He's a marketing person's dream.
Is he a quarterback or is he a model?
That's right.
What is going on here?
Trust me, I heard the same thing when I played. Anyway. because they didn't think I was a quarterback and they didn't think I was a model. But here's the thing. I saw this weekend, people were like trying to touch his hair. They're like, no way you put nothing in it. They're like, what is your hair care routine? He goes, wake up and go. And people literally were touching his hair like there's no way it could look that good.
Some things are just God-given.
Some people are just blessed.
There you go.
That dude is blessed with that hair. The other thing that I thought was ridiculous this weekend, and Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, had it. We're really going to change the onside kick potentially to you have to declare it and you have to be down in the fourth quarter in order to do it. Really? Come on. You have to declare an onside kick? The whole point of it is element of surprise.
Well, I guess they're trying to tweak the onside kick rules to make it more competitive because it just seems like all of the intrigue has been taken out of the kickoff game as a whole. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to find a way where it's more viable, because I think it was less than 5% of the onside kicks that were made this year were recovered. So the NFL getting all of these special team coordinators in there trying to workshop it where you can make the play less predictable and mean more teams have an opportunity to recover it while also maintaining what would force you to go with the new rules in the first place, which is player safety. So I think there's a lot of moving parts here, and I don't have a problem with them workshopping it. There's going to be some trial and error before they actually get this thing right.
I just don't know how this makes it easier for an offensive team or the kicking team to recover, considering I have to tell the defense we're doing this. You have to declare, like, hey, CeCe and Smalls, we're going to onside kick now.
But in most situations, because of how the rules are set up, don't you already know they're going to onside kick it?
Basically.
Yes, but there would be the Super Bowl Saints and Colts would never exist that way because it was a surprise onside kick, which you couldn't have anymore. Greeny, coming up next. We are on to Tuesday. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.